You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, it's Food Friday. We'll take a scientific look at the best ways to cook different kinds of meat.
First, for fans of Laura Ingalls Wilder's Little House books, there's a real sense of the family living both in harmony with the land and struggling against the challenges it presented them.
The series starts with the little house in the Big Wood, which is near Lake Pepin in Wisconsin.
In a new book, Marta McDowell traces the Ingalls' life in Wisconsin and beyond and how they related to the specific landscapes from which they worked to earn a living. Her book is The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder, the frontier landscapes that inspired the Little House books. Marta, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Judith. Glad to be here.
You clearly have a connection to gardening and the landscape, but what's your connection to Laura Ingalls Wilder?
Oh, well, you know, I always loved Laura Ingalls Wilder. I loved the books. I guess I kind of missed the TV shows, but that was just because I was in college at the time. But I found that there were a lot of connections as I reread the book, so that was really fun.
And Laura's story starts here in Wisconsin in the little house in the Big Woods. But, and I didn't realize this until reading your book, Charles and Caroline's story started earlier in Wisconsin. Tell us about her parents' life first.
Yes, well, you know, her mother was actually born in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And her father was born in New York State, but then came with his family across the upper Midwest, which was really common at the time, and then eventually settled in Concord. And I guess by that time, Caroline and her family had moved to Concord as well. And so that's where they met, and that's where they first farmed.
And tell us about that area. What kind of a landscape were they dealing with as they tried to farm there?
Well, you know, Wisconsin, much of it was wooded. And, you know, as the settlers came across, they were taking out the woods to make it into agricultural land. So, you know, I'm not sure about that exact area around Concord. I'm actually heading out there to visit Old World, Wisconsin, and visit both where Caroline was born and where Charles and Caroline had their first house, because that's an area I hadn't been to yet.
And so what led them, Charles and Caroline, from the southeast corner of the state to the northwest area?
Well, they were following family. His family had moved up to that area near Lake Pepin. And so, and his brother had as well, I think actually quite a bit of his family. So they followed, just often as families do. You know, they decided to try a new place. It was kind of... You know, for Charles, it was a continuation of his life as a mover, right? He was sort of a rolling stone. And for Caroline, I guess it was, you know, early. You know, it was, she wasn't like that growing up as much. So I think that was just the beginning of their sort of odyssey, if you will.
And let's talk about that landscape around Pepin, Wisconsin, and Lake Pepin, which, as you note, is actually not a true lake. It's actually a widening of the Mississippi River. And that's where Ma and Pa Ingalls moved and raised their family, of course, including Laura. Describe that area for us.
So it was very wooded. The Wisconsin woods were considered a great natural wonder. And, you know, parts of Wisconsin, they still are. But if you think about the late 19th century, by that time, the East Coast had been pretty much timbered out for anything that was accessible because, you know, wood was so important for any building materials, for transportation, for fuel. So that was viewed as, you know, this wonderful thing. And so there was a huge timber boom in Wisconsin at the time. But also, and this surprised me, Wisconsin, after the Civil War, was producing 1/6 of the nation's wheat crop. Hmm. So it was a huge wheat producer. Another thing that surprised me as I went along was that on their first farm in Concord, Caroline and Charles grew hops.
For the beer industry, I'm guessing.
For the beer industry. So I don't know why that would have surprised me, but it hadn't appeared in any of the Little House books. Laura has one mention of a brewery in Pioneer Girl, her autobiography. Mm-hmm. But that brewery is actually in New Ulm, Minnesota. So they were already, you know, heading out on the wagon train. So I guess by the time she was old enough to remember, they had probably finished with hops. But I found that in a letter that the Wisconsin Historical Society had.
Let's talk more about those trees and the woods. The trees around where Laura and her family were living, there was a huge variety of trees. What were some of the trees that she would have been very familiar with?
So I guess the most prominent tree that's talked about in Little House in the Big Woods are the oaks. And Wilder really takes pains to describe these two big oaks that were in front of their log cabin. And she was one of two little girls in the family at the time. It was Laura and her older sister, Mary. And they each sort of claimed an oak tree. You know, you can imagine as two kids in a family would. You know, one was Laura's oak tree and one was Mary's oak tree. And they were, you know, sort of one of their designated play spots. And she mentions, you know, playing with the acorns. Oh, we always did that when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yes, yes. even as a Chicago girl, I did.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember just in our little suburban backyard, in the fall, I would take a rake and I would rake leaves into like a floor plan. I don't know if that was like a little hint that I was going to be a garden designer, but I would rake like little, like with the walls and doors, and I'd make a little sort of house on the lawn.
Marta McDowell is the author of The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder, The Frontier Landscapes That Inspired the Little House books. And the woods were different just a little further north, where it transitions into more the pines and the conifers. But they were really in a different kind of woods than maybe some people who don't know the area around Pepin, Wisconsin would imagine.
Yeah, so they were in a kind of mixed hardwood forest. You know, there were oaks, there were walnuts, and the book, even though it was a children's book, it mentions a lot of very specific plant life. So, of course, if I'm sort of a plant nerd, I found that really, you know, exciting. But then a little further north, when it gets into the real big woods, and she talks about going up to Grandpa Ingalls, and they're going up to maple sugaring, and there's a really big deal. There was an actual transition zone, you know, so today we would probably call it a different biome, right? And you get up into where there really were more maples. So this little childhood memory, you know, you can draw a line to actual ecology today. And it was really fun. I found in Madison, as a matter of fact, in the university collections, there was an old 19th century map of the native vegetation of Wisconsin from 1882, and this really interesting colored map that showed the different zones of the, you know, where were the grasslands and where were the different forest zones. And I could pinpoint where the farm was and, you know, where her grandfather's farm was and really see. It's like, oh, this wasn't just a fictional, you know, we're going to make up this fantasy woodland. This was actually true. And so, you know, you go Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Marta McDowell is the author of The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder, The Frontier Landscapes That Inspired the Little House books. She's with us to examine the different landscapes that the Ingalls family called home.
We'll continue the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation now with Marta McDowell. She's the author of The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder, The Frontier Landscapes That Inspired the Little House books.
And Marta, when I was reading your book, I was struck by two competing themes, fighting against nature and also relying on nature. Is that something you thought about as you wrote the book?
Yeah, you know, it's so we're looking at this with our eyes from 2017, right? And so now we might say, oh, well, you know, they cut down so much forest and change the land so much, was that really the right thing to do, right? Because we're looking at it with 21st century eyes. They were, sort of creating a farmland, a sustainable lifestyle, you know, for their families. And so, you know, they were doing a little bit of both. So here's Charles Ingalls and his brother, and they're carving out this opening in the Wisconsin woods. And so throughout Little House in the Big Woods, they're talking about, you know, cutting down trees, fighting against the trees coming back. The kids are always playing on stumps, right? So it wasn't like, oh, they clear the whole space. They just basically cut down the trees and plant around it. And yet, Charles Ingalls loved the woods. He loved to hunt. He was kind of also really tender-hearted about the woods and the animals that lived there. Was careful not to take the deer at the wrong time of year, you know, when they were nurturing their young. So he had that, you know, what I feel is the real hunter's love of nature. And so it was both sides of the coin. And I could see it from their point of view.
And what about Caroline? What was she able to glean from that natural landscape to either help feed or clothe or keep her family healthy?
Yeah, so all through the Little House books, there are mentions of wild plants being used, right? So they're collecting nuts. There's smoking fish. They're using the wood for tools. There are mentions of medicinal plants, not too many specifics, but, you know, of sort of making poultices and teas and things like that. And, you know, they really were out in the wilderness, so they weren't, they didn't have an easy access to doctors, that's for sure.
And one of the things that you noted and made me chuckle, because I just recently realized that that's what's growing uninvited, let's say, in my own backyard, is pokeberry. And it has these berries that they used as a dye.
Yeah. So there's a famous scene in Little House in the Big Woods where Laura gets a doll, a real doll named Charlotte. And the doll's handmade, and the doll's, you know, facial features have been drawn in with pokeberry ink. And my antenna went up, because pokeberry grows all around me in New Jersey. It grew all around my father's farm in Kentucky. And in the spring, my father would harvest it, and you know, it has to be properly prepared. It's one of these things that has a lot of oxalic acid in it. But he and my mother would eat the greens. I think they changed the water 3 times, something like that. And I don't remember eating it because I was a kid and I just turned up my nose. But it's like, oh, poke. I know pokeweed. I think it would be a fabulous ornamental for crazy gardeners like me. The problem is, you know, if it sows around in your garden, it's got a taproot that goes down, like way down. And so you don't really want it in your garden. And yet it is a native plant, right? It is a pollinator. You know, some pollinators do use it as a host plant. So it is really a good thing. But if you let it go, it would take over your whole backyard.
So we've talked about some of the elements in their natural surroundings that the Ingalls were able to use themselves. Were there things that they were also able to sell as a profit, to buy those things that they couldn't produce themselves?
So Charles was definitely harvesting pelts. He was a good hunter. And again, the books talk about how he made the bullets and goes into a lot of detail. And so he was trading not just on his farm, but probably getting a lot more cash from the furs. And, of course, the fur industry was huge in the upper Midwest as well.
How unique was the Wisconsin landscape for the Ingalls compared to the other places that they then eventually moved to?
So it was, the only place that had really abundant wood, right? The other places, there would have been some wood, but not nearly as much. So Wisconsin was really their forested landscape. And then, I mean, think about all of the other places that they went. So they were in Minnesota, I guess, yeah, along Plum Creek, there would have been some wood, but then there was a lot of grassland. Mm-hmm. Dakota, what's now Kansas, which was then Indian Territory. They lived for a time in Baroque, Iowa. You know, in those places, they would have had some stands of trees, but it wouldn't have been the forest. So it would have been quite different.
And as we wrap up, Marta, how would you describe the Ingalls' relationship to the lands that they inhabited?
Well, one pleasant surprise to me as I went along was I realized that, you know, nowadays we'd call it sustainable agriculture or, you know, the small family farm. And a lot of people are, you know, looking at that as a model, you know, in addition to the beautiful, great big farms that you have as well. But that the Ingalls and then later Laura Ingalls Wilder and her husband really were kind of sustainable farmers. I mean, they amended their soil. Almanzo Wilder, for example, used cover crops, you know, nitrogen-fixing mm-hmm. cover crops. He never let the quails be hunted in his 1,000-tree apple orchard because he said, you know, they eat the bugs, and that's why my trees are much healthier than my neighbor's trees. And Laura Ingalls Wilder, in her journalism, because she wrote a lot of farm journalism, really talks about, you know, the practices of never letting things go to waste, and you save the scraps to go to the chickens. And it resonated for me with writings of people like Aldo Leopold, you know, another one of your famous Wisconsin folks, you know, so much that I actually quoted him. He said, there are two spiritual dangers in not owning a farm. One is the danger of supposing that breakfast comes from the grocery, and the other that heat comes from the furnace.
Hmm.
And I think that Laura Ingalls Wilder lived that, and then she also communicated it to us, right? She passed it down in these very, you know, sort of heartwarming children's books.
Well, Marta, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Judith.
Marta McDowell is the author of The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder, The Frontier Landscapes That Inspired the Little House Books. She joined us to talk about the Wisconsin landscape that the Ingalls family called home.